This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Stearin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this lovely Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. The last Saturday before Thanksgiving. And we'll see if the weather plays a factor in the football semifinals coming up later on today. And
pretty warm.
Yeah.
Pretty warm for late November.
Rain in the forecast, though.
There is. I'll tell you more about it at 9:15, so
there you
stay tuned.
There you go. Big day for the Sangamo Conference, potentially, as they will try to put three teams into the football state championship. Athens will host Tuscola in 1A. Moreau Forsyth will be at Shelbyville in 2A. And Pleasant Plains will host Anna Jonesboro in 3A as the Sangamo Conference looks to do something that is of the oddest thing you will ever see. Three teams into the state finals. We'll see. Tough draw for Athens. Tuscola is the top seed and unbeaten. Moreau Forsyth on the road. Shelbyville was in this round last year and lost, so they'll be looking to get it done. And, of course, Plains, a 16 seed. They have run the Cinderella gauntlet here, upset Carthenville last week, and they will get an undefeated team in Anna Jonesboro. And it worked out nice for Plains. They were on the road the first week, home week two, on the road last week, and now they avoid the long trek down south to Anna Jonesboro as AJ will come up to face Plains. Of course, another big game in 4A has Highland at Rochester, two undefeated teams there. They will kick it off at 4:30 today. And then in 8A, Edwardsville, they are the 26th seed, winners of nine straight ball games. They will host Wilmette Loyola Academy. That game will kick off at 2:00 this afternoon. We'll be talking some girls high school basketball as the show moves along. We'll catch up with Nokomis head coach Brandon Engelman. Also catch up with Hillsboro head coach Brett Teakin. We'll see if we can make connection with Gillespie coach Kevin Gray this morning as well here on Sports Saturday as the girls basketball season tipped off on Monday. We had our first broadcast on the air Tuesday as Nokomis beat Litchfield. Of course, all of our high school broadcasts available in a podcast online at WSMIRadio.com. And David, it was a week ago we sat here talking about the Carthenville-Pleasant Plains matchup in the quarterfinals, and boy, Plains played a great ball game last week when they upset Carthenville, and Anna Jonesboro is unbeaten, but boy, Plains is playing some great ball at the perfect time.
They are, and they've really built up their football program quite a bit over the last few years. They've made the playoffs a few times here, and then finally were able to advance as a 16 seed into the semifinals, so very impressive run.
No doubt about it. Plains at 9-3 will host 12-0 Anna Jonesboro. Anna in the semifinals for the fifth time, but their first since 2006, and this will be Anna Jonesboro's first playoff game this year against a non-South Central team as they beat Hillsboro, Vandalia, and Pena, although Pena then Vandalia in the first three rounds. Now they get a Sangamo team in the semifinals. Your other 3A semifinal has defending champion IC Catholic at number 3, Byron. Of course, Byron shut out Williamsville last week 13-0. And at the start of the year, if you would have said the Sangamo Conference is going to have three teams in the semifinals, you would have said, okay, Williamsville and who else?
Williamsville, Athens, Auburn. Three pretty good guesses. Yeah.
David, you told me a stat earlier this week about the Sangamo Conference and the depth. Having three teams in the semifinals in 1 year, that's impressive. But basically, half of their league has been in this round at one point or the other, like the last 3 or 4 years.
Based on their alignment right now, a 10-team conference, since 2014, obviously in 2014 it wasn't a 10-team conference, but since then, six of the 10 teams that are in the conference now have made it to the semifinals. Six different teams.
Right, six different teams. That's impressive. We always marvel at the start of the year in the first poll that comes out. half of the Sangamo Conference is always state ranked. And when you see the type of success they have year in, year out, it's easy to see why they get that type of respect at the beginning of the year. So good luck to the Sangamo Conference today. A big day as they will try to put three teams into the state football championship. Carthenville was in that game last year, of course. Unfortunately, their season came to a close last week at the hands of Pleasant Plains. We're happy to be joined on the phone now by Carthenville head football coach Chad Easterday. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're doing all right today. Thank you for a few minutes of your time. And I guess, Chad, what does a man like yourself do the first week you don't have a football game to prepare for?
That's a good question. We sit back and you look at things you did right, things you did wrong. Hindsight's always better than, the foresight, what you could have done differently, changes like that. We have big coaches meeting and that sort of stuff, and you just kind of reflect on what happened.
Chad, as we look at your season as a whole, as you reflect, you have to be very proud of what your kids accomplished this year.
Yeah, I mean, as we've talked several times, the expectation level of the season coming in was very, very high, both by the coaching staff and by the players and by the community and itself. So I thought our 12 seniors did a phenomenal job of leadership, asking them the roles that they play throughout it all. When you look back and after a tough loss like that, you always think you could change something and probably should have done something different. And, those are the hindsight things, like we said, but very, very pleased overall.
Absolutely. And, Chad, as we look at that game last week a little bit, what a great high school football game it was. And I really think the credit for that Plains win has to go to their defensive front. I thought they did a really good job of controlling your guys' running game. And, really, they limited you to just that one explosive play.
Yep, I would agree with you. I thought they did some things that some different looks, constantly making us have to make adjustments both on the line of scrimmage and in play calling, that type of stuff. So, like we said before, they're a very good football team. They're one of the best 6-3 teams coming out of their regular season that we've played. I noticed that they had some injuries early on in the season that they'd gotten over, that type of thing. So, they were peaking at the right time. I think that's one of the unwritten things that people don't realize. When you play good football at the right times, it does help the cause. So, they were primed for that.
Chad, I'm just curious because I've been thinking about it all week, and I wanted to ask you. Late in the game, your defense got the stop, and it was like 4th and 21, about a minute and a half, a minute 40 left. You didn't call timeout. Could you explain why?
Sure. We were going to change. We had pinned them deep. And we were trying to see about, we were having a little trouble with pass protection and did not want to flip the field position. We didn't want to give them the football back either with X amount of time on the clock. So we were going to let it run down and take our chances and try to get the correct amount of time to work the ball down the field without giving the ball back to them. Then we ended up with a sack on the opening drive after we let that happen, and that quote-unquote theory went down the tubes real quickly. So, I think those are the things that you talked about earlier that may haunt me for 365 days, if ands and buts, that type of stuff, and could have done differently.
And, Chad, you guys had another tough emotional situation late in that game with Tucker Hughes.
Yeah, he got a concussion. That happens in football. Somebody said, could it have done any different? Nope. He ran into the back of our own player, that type of thing, and, just bounced his head off the ground. So, I thought the medical staff did a phenomenal job, and the protocols that are go with that happen to be backboard and those types of things. So, he was taken to the hospital, checked out, has a concussion, going through the protocol, and he was home by 7:45 that evening. Yeah. That type of stuff. So, maybe that played a little drain in us. Maybe it did. Maybe it did. I think it's hard not to say that it didn't cause something, that's for sure.
Well, it had to have some sort of effect, because at the end of the day, you guys are human beings. And it was a situation where the game of football gets put in perspective real fast.
Yeah, you're right, it does. And I think as more time goes on, you get over, or you settle with the decisions you've made and that sort of thing. So, like we said, he's better. He was never bad off, so in terms of the grand scheme of things, but you know, they did a good job with precautionary things and stuff like that.
Chad, the Sangamo Conference still has three teams alive in the semifinals. We always talk throughout the football season, the Sangamo Conference, the South Central Conference, those are the two leagues we cover the most. And the South Central Conference, we talked about it throughout the year. I thought the top half and the middle part of that league this year was about as good as it's been in a long time.
Yeah, I tell you what, I was very proud to be part of those, of the conference. And I am every year, I guess I should say. But this in particular, Vandalia peaking at the right time, very similar to Plains, you know, that type of thing. And I thought the competition in and out of every week was high and that sort of thing. So once again, I think these two conferences in this area, obviously we get to see each other quite a bit, but has been very high and hopefully will continue to be that way.
Jed, looking to your team next year, you had so much coming back in terms of the big boys up front. You're going to have to replace those for next year.
Yeah, you know, we lose a few linemen. We lose both inside linebackers, which I thought did a phenomenal job for us this year. Garrett Campbell and A.J. Chapman, those types of pieces will have to be, you know, plugged in there, and we'll have to wait and see what, you know, middle December brings and January 1st as we start the weight room process and that sort of thing.
Sounds good. Chad, we always appreciate your time throughout the year, sir. Thank you so much, and enjoy your offseason.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate the coverage.
All right. Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And undoubtedly disappointed they aren't still playing today, David, but they had a great year nonetheless. And as Chad said, they ran into a team in Pleasant Plains that is peaking at the right time. And they will give Anna Jonesboro fits today for that reason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Carlinville can't hang their heads just they lost last week. I mean, they still...
It was overtime.
Quarterfinals appearance. It's still a heck of an achievement. So it's hard to get back to the semifinals in back-to-back years. So for them to get to the quarterfinals, I mean, it's quite an accomplishment.
I meant to ask Chad this.
Especially for a public school.
Yeah, and I forgot to ask him. I just totally slipped my mind. Now I think of it, of course. But see, they had a heartbreaking playoff loss years ago in Casey Westfield. Mm-hmm. One of Chad, I think it was his second year, maybe his third year, where they lost on a two-point conversion in overtime to where they dove and almost deflected away. It was Brendan Stewart's senior year up there at Casey. So he's had a couple of gut-wrenching playoff
losses. Was it that early in his career at Carlinville?
Maybe not.
I remember the year. It was like 2012.
Well, that wouldn't have been his sort of fourth year.
Okay, yeah, because I was working here at the time. So it was 2012 or 2013.
I guess the years have started to run together for me, David. Who knows?
Well, they played him. I think they played him twice.
They played him back-to-back years.
Yeah, they got blown
waxed
out in one of them.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But so two devastating overtime playoff losses for Carlinville in the last number of years. But that game last week was just a great high school football game as Plains got it done. So Athens host Tuscola. Maroa's on the road at Shelbyville, Plains home to Anna Jonesboro. David, I put you on the spot. How many teams does the Sangamo Conference have playing the day after Thanksgiving in DeKalb?
One. I'm going to say Maroa Forsyth. Maroa Forsyth's going to win. They have the best chance at winning. Athens has a good chance at winning.
Tough
but they're facing Carrollton, isn't it?
So, no, they're facing Tuscola.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because Tuscola beat Carrollton.
Yeah, Tuscola beat Carrollton.
Yeah, that's tough. They could win it, but man.
All three could win. But I think you are right. In terms of just looking at the draws, Tuscola's tough.
Yeah.
Anna Jonesboro's tough. And no disrespect to Shelbyville, but Maroa Forsyth is tough.
Right. Well, and the thing that, I mean, what's going to benefit Pleasant Plains is they're at home, obviously.
Yes, that's right. And Athens is as well.
Yeah, well, and you said this earlier this week. It was, I think, during your sports break that Tuscola football has been around since like 1895,
yeah,
something like that, and Athens since 2006.
A little different.
Quite the contrast in program history there.
I made sure I looked at that. That's what it says on the IHSA website. I looked at it for a couple minutes. Like that does say 1895. That's a long time ago.
I believe it. Yeah, that's and they're. I would consider them a powerhouse in football for their class. They may not have the titles to back it up, but they're a powerhouse.
They got two state championships and three runners up.
Well, there you go.
They got five trophies.
There you go.
So, power.
Heck of a game today it should be. We'll see if Athens can bring it home.
Absolutely. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will dive a little bit more into the semifinal matchups following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106.1. And don't forget, we've got Fighting Illini football today for you on our sister station WAOX, as the Illini will be at Columbus to take on the Buckeyes. You can hear that broadcast beginning live at 1:30 on FM 105.3.
And David, Urban Meyer has forbidden his players to talk about the upcoming Michigan game. Mm-hmm. They were not allowed to talk about the possibility of playing for the Big Ten Championship.
Okay.
Or they're not allowed to think about what would it take for them to get back in the national playoff hunt.
So you're saying they could be focused?
Yeah. He says he wants all the focus on the Illini. So if Illinois thought, you know what, maybe we'll be able to go in under the radar, sneak up on them. No.
So the Turtles staying in Columbus, perhaps? The Illibuck.
The what?
The Turtle. It's the Illibuck Trophy.
Ugh.
It's what it is.
Ugh.
The very first year they adopted a turtle. It was a real turtle. It died after like 1 or 2 years. They adopted it because of the longevity, the lifespan.
The turtle died?
Yeah, it died.
Because it wasn't taken care of properly by the winning team?
I don't think it wasn't taken care of properly.
It was just old?
Yeah, it died. Turtles are supposed to live for a long time. That's the reason they adopted it as a trophy. It died 1 or 2 years into the rivalry, so they replaced it with a wooden trophy.
The rivalry, please.
Hey.
We've had this conversation before. Ohio State-Illinois football is not a rivalry. It's not. It's not.
It is to some people.
To who?
The Illinois fans.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. To Ohio State fans? No.
Well, I mean...
For it to be a rivalry, one team has to actually beat the other team or be competitive with them every once in a while. And the other thing, both teams have to see it as a rivalry. The Big Ten has a little trophy for every game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, almost. Almost everyone. As a Buckeye fan, it's Illinois, they're kind of, for football... They're kind of, you know, like that fly you just keep trying to swat
away.
Exactly.
They're not your rivals.
It's that kind of rivalry.
Exactly.
Like, hey, get away from me.
Not a rivalry. Yeah. Ohio State, Michigan. That's a rivalry.
That's the game.
That's the
game.
That's
what it's called.
That's right. You could even make a case that Ohio State, Michigan State would be more of a rivalry than Ohio State, Illinois. Ohio State, Wisconsin.
Ohio State's got a rivalry with just about every Big Ten football
team. Which usually is the case when you're the dominating team.
Right.
But my point is, Ohio State does not think, hey, we're playing our rivals from Illinois this week. Well, no way.
I don't know. It would almost have to go back to a long time ago, back to the 60s, to justify it being an actual rivalry. I can't explain it. I don't know. It's a rivalry. For whatever, I mean, they adopted the trophy for some reason. I mean, it wasn't just because, hey, let's do this because of randomness. So it had to be a rivalry at some point.
Maybe.
Maybe back when Dick Butkus was playing for the Illini.
See, they were good then.
Yeah. So it could have been a rivalry then. It's just been, 50 years of one-sidedness?
Is that all? That's just half a century. Not that bad.
Something like that.
Not that bad. Let's turn our attention back to the high school football playoffs. Semifinals today, of course. 2 o'clock kickoffs in Class 1A, and you have three great programs still alive in Athens. They just haven't had football long enough probably to be considered a great program, but if they keep it up, they will be in that type of conversation. They may have only had football since 06, but they've been in the playoffs 9 times, has Athens. Just their first semifinal appearance, of course. Tuscola, 5 trophies, 2 state championships. That game will kick at 2 o'clock in Athens. The other 1A semifinal, a couple of perennial powers, Lena Winslow. They are state champions 2 times over in 2010 and 2013. Their 4th semifinal appearance since 2009. They are unbeaten on the year. They will be at Forreston, only 1 loss on the year. They're your defending 1A champions. They've won 2 of the last 3 titles. They're 46-5 the last 4 seasons, 25-1 the last 2 years. So whoever comes out of that northern half of the 1A bracket, David, will be loaded up and ready to go.
Yeah. You know, one more quick note on Athens. I was just thinking about this. They're on the verge of becoming known as a football power, I think it's safe to say. And it's interesting because they've never won their conference. They've never been the best team in the Sangamo Conference. And yet they're becoming a powerhouse.
Oh, absolutely. And the benefit that Athens has is the greatness of the Sangamo, but they're a 1A school.
Right.
So they sit there and they play the Williamsvilles, the Marrero Forsythes. You know, this year, the Plainses of the world.
Yeah. We talked about it off the air this week that it probably won't happen, and you know, it could go either way, but if they were to move conferences, you know, it could either serve them really well or it couldn't, just depending on the league that they joined, just because they'd have some conference titles under their belt and maybe get a better draw early on in the postseason.
Yeah, but you don't do that at all.
No.
You want to be in a great league.
Right.
When you're in a league like the Sangamo is the reason Athens is playing in the semifinal today. If they were in a lesser league, they might have gone 9-0 in the regular year and been one of those teams that ends 9-1.
This is true.
The competition they play throughout the year in that conference gets them ready to go.
It would just have to depend on the league that they joined.
You're not finding a better league than that.
Well, right. And geographically, there really isn't one that comes to mind in that area.
No. They'll take third place finishes in the Sangamo Conference and quarterfinal and semifinal appearances every year. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
We'll take it.
In Class 2A, you have Maroa Forsyth on the road at Shelbyville. That'll be a 1:30 kick. Maroa Forsyth, their seventh semifinal appearance in the last 9 years. Two state championships, 06 and 2012. Four-time runners-up, including last year, and then 2009, 2010, and 2014. They have just been a power. Long before they were in the Sangamo Conference, Maroa Forsyth was a power. And that's the school. When the Sangamo got them, it's like, oh, boy. That is taking a big league step up in football.
Well, they were a power, like you said, they were a power before they joined the Sangamo Conference, and most times you would think, oh, you know, they're coming into a new league, they'll probably run all over the conference and dominate. They have yet to win a conference title.
And yes, and that just shows how good the Sangamo Conference is. Yeah. That Maroa Forsyth, they were in the state championship game last year, and they haven't won a conference championship yet. In the Sangamo.
It's probably been a few years since they haven't been in the state championship. I think they've been at least the past 2 years.
Well, they were the runner-up in 14 and 16.
Okay, so 15 they weren't.
Yeah, but,
I mean, okay.
They're essentially there every year.
Right.
They're a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So they will get Shelbyville on the road today. That's a 1:30 kick. Your other 2A semifinal has your Newman Central Catholic at 12-0, five state championships, their last coming in 2013. That's the year they beat Staunton. Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, they are unbeaten on the year as well, so two 12-0 teams in the northern half of the 2A bracket in the semifinals. Gibson City's second semifinal appearance. In 3A, Pleasant Plains, they will be hosting Anna Jonesboro. As we mentioned, Anna Jonesboro has played three South Central teams, now a Sangamo Conference club. That game will kick off at 2 o'clock today in Plains. Your other game in 3A has IC Catholic at Byron. IC Catholic, your defending 3A champs, their third straight semifinal. Byron, their fourth semifinal and first since 2014. In 4A, at 4:30 this afternoon, number 2 and unbeaten Highland will be at 12-0 and top-seeded Rochester. And this is just stupid. The last 8 years, Rochester is 99-9 with six state titles, looking for number 7 this year. That's just ridiculous.
It's pretty good.
That works.
Some would say that's a dynasty.
Yes, some might say.
Yeah.
Highland, their second semifinal appearance, but their first since 1989.
That's a really interesting matchup, Highland and Rochester. That ought to be a fun game.
It really ought to be a fun game, but man, what Rochester has done, forget about saying they're not going to win the game. It's hard to even say that they're going to be challenged.
Yeah, this is true. Well, and I mean,
Belleville-Althoff was supposed to give them a challenge, and they mopped them.
I don't mean to demean their program by what I'm about to say, but...
Uh-oh, watch yourself, David.
Isn't Highland, like, kind of a happy to be here at this point? Because I don't know that they've made it this deep in the playoffs in a while.
Well, yeah, they've had some early season exits the last number of years. I don't know. I see what you're saying, but I think when you're unbeaten and you get to the semifinals, you have a little bigger goal than just happy to be in the semifinal.
This is true. This is true. But, I mean, the one thing Derek Leonard does really well is he has his teams prepared to get to the championship game.
Well, that's exactly right. Rochester prepares at the start of football, whenever it is they start it, probably a week after they end it.
Mm-hmm.
But their goal is to play the day after Thanksgiving.
And they're gunning for an undefeated season, it's been a while since they've done that, even during this run. I don't know how many times they went undefeated.
Maybe just once.
Might have been. Yeah, because even during their best years, they would lose to SHG in the regular season. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
SHG lost last week to Nazareth Academy, so SHG out of the 6A playoffs. Not really any local flair of at all in 5, 6, or 7A. You get to 8A, Edwardsville is still alive. How about that? 9-3, they will host Wilmette Loyola Academy. And Loyola Academy, their 10th straight semifinal appearance. Three runners up. They were second last year and state champs in 2015. So
they are on a winning streak. Edwardsville is
9 in a row.
Yeah, they started 0-3, which doesn't happen to them often, and now they're 9-3.
Had they not blown the 40-point running clock lead in week one, who knows where they would be? They probably wouldn't be in the semifinals.
They might not have. Yeah, it's all about the draw.
All about the draw.
Who knows?
So good luck to Edwardsville. They will kick it off at 2 o'clock today against Loyola Academy. So we'll see if weather plays a factor. Hopefully the rain will stay away. The temperatures certainly are going to be rather nice as the football semifinals will kick off. First game kicking at 1:30. Most of them, though, at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Girls high school basketball tipped off this week, and last night at the Taylorville tournament, Rochester beat Hillsborough 66-50. Sammy Matouche had 30 points for the Toppers. Civic Memorial beat Jacksonville 67-21, and Taylorville beat Mount Zion 41-33. At the Pena Thanksgiving tournament, Moequa Central A&M over Athens 58-35. Ocaw Valley beat Pena 51-37. Williamsville over Mattoon 53-42, and Centralia Christ Our Rock Lutheran beat St. Elmo Brownstown 61-25. At Waverly, in overtime, North Mac beat Springfield Lutheran 45-44, Auburn over South County 48-25, and Carrollton beat South Fork 67-29. At Alton, Lanphier over Southeast 77-31, and Calhoun beat Riverview Gardens out of Missouri 53-39. Happy to be joined on the phone now by Nokomis head girls basketball coach Brandon Engelman. And coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time today. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing very well. We love the combination of football and basketball like we have going on right now, as we had our first broadcast on Tuesday. It involved your club and Litchfield, and you've had a couple of ball games early, coach. Your assessment of your club so far?
They played pretty good against Litchfield on Tuesday night there, but we kind of didn't react to some pressure that Gillespie had took to us on Thursday, so we got some work to do with that. So we weren't quite as satisfied with how we played against Gillespie, but we got some good things going on. We got some experience this year that we can play off of, and should be hopefully get better this next week here at Litchfield.
Coach, the ability to handle pressure, that is always a very important aspect for any basketball team.
Absolutely. And when you go play a team like Gillespie, who that's what they're known for, that's what they do every time, and we just didn't respond to it, and they took it right to us, and we kind of backed off. We talked a lot about that, about responding to pressure and being able to handle it, and if you can't handle it, the team is just going to keep building and building on it.
It's a weird thing, Coach, but teams that historically pressure, for whatever reason, sometimes don't like to be pressured. I don't know why.
Yeah, we pressure a little different style. Some we pressure out of our zone defense there, so it's hard to duplicate that for us in practice when teams go play us man-to-man. Gillespie didn't quite do that against man-to-man, but they're so big this year that we couldn't deal with it, couldn't deal with their length. And when you take it back, duplicating the stuff in practice is hard for us to do against that man-to-man type pressure.
You know, Coach, it's interesting. You say Gillespie's big, and they are. Kevin Gray said he's never had a taller or deeper team. But it's not like you have a small club.
No, we're small. We're a little different, big. I mean, we're pretty good size. We're not quite as thick and muscular as those girls are. But we kind of got in this mode there. They kept sticking to us. We kept backing off from it, and they just kept building the momentum from us. We have to react better to that and take it to them.
Coach, as you get prepared here for the upcoming week, what do you want to see from your club here?
Mentally, we've got to play mentally better. We talk about mental toughness. You've got to be mentally tough along with physically tough. And we just got to be able to handle big game situations, which we don't have any excuse not to. We're too experienced to back off and to play like that. We played kind of like we were a young ball club, and we've got to be more experienced and handle that, and I think we can next week. We're still looking forward there. We feel like there's no reason we can't go win several games, if not win the tournament at Litchfield over there. So we're looking forward to getting back on the floor there. Girls are itching to get back on there to make up for that game on Thursday night.
And Brent, you got a lot of different weapons on your club this year, but there won't be many nights when you take the floor where there's going to be a player better than Taylor Lohman.
No, she's certainly there, and she's certainly a good player there and a good scoring option for us. And she does a whole lot of things there, especially with her length on defense and length on rebounding. And she's got a score. She had a rough night the other night, but I know she'll bounce back from. And when she has a rough night, and Alyssa Huber had a rough night, we're going to struggle at times. But I would expect Taylor to step up and play much better with her. She's quite a good career going on here, and she's going to finish up her senior year and do fine.
That's right. And when a player like Taylor has an off game, I feel sorry for the next opponent.
Yep, that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping she can step it up here and be ready to go Monday, Tuesday. We got a busy week this week with all four games. We don't play tonight over there in Litchfield, but we got four games next week that I know she'll be ready to go.
Absolutely. Brandon Engelman, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck as the season rolls along, sir.
Thank you very much.
Nokomis girls head basketball coach Brandon Engelman here on WSMI Sports Saturday. You heard Coach mention they are not playing in the Litchfield tournament tonight. They do have two games scheduled as the tournament tips off. At 6 o'clock, Litchfield will take on Carthenville at the Litchfield Thanksgiving tournament. And then game two tonight has Southwestern taking on Carlisle. The Taylorville Thanksgiving Tournament back in action this morning. They will be tipping off just at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. It'll be Jacksonville against Rochester. At 11:30, Civic Memorial will face Mount Zion. Then at 1 o'clock, it'll be Hillsboro taking on Taylorville. In the evening session beginning at 5, it'll be Hillsboro against Jacksonville. At 6:30, Taylorville will take on Civic Memorial. And at 8 o'clock, it'll be Rochester and Mount Zion at the Lady Tornado Thanksgiving Tournament in Taylorville. At the Pena Thanksgiving Tournament, they've got games scheduled all day long. They, too, will begin at 10 o'clock this morning in the high school gymnasium. They will have Pena taking on Athens. At 11:30, it'll be Mattoon against Centralia Christar Rock. Then at 3 o'clock, Williamsville takes on Centralia Christar Rock. At 4:30, St. Elmo Brownstown against Mattoon. At 6 o'clock, Athens will face Ocal Valley. And at 7:30, it'll be Pena against Central A&M. There are a couple of games scheduled in the Pena Junior High Gym. At 10 o'clock, Williamsville will face St. Elmo Brownstown. At 11:30, it'll be Central A&M against Ocal Valley. Coming up at the Columbia Invitational today, Greenville's in the championship. They will face Lebanon at 2:30. The tournament will start at 10 o'clock today with Waterloo against Metro East. At 11:30, New Athens and Alton Marquette. At 1 o'clock, it'll be Columbia against Triad. And then the championship will tip at around 2:30 with Greenville and Lebanon. At the DuPo tournament at 11 o'clock, it'll be DuPo against Valmeyer. At 12:30, Madison takes on Wood River. At 2 o'clock, Roxana will face Marissa. And the championship game at 3:30 at DuPo has Father McGivney against Waterloo Jabot. At the Salem tournament today at 11 o'clock, it'll be Belleville Altoff against T-Town. At 12:30, Highland will face Carterville. At 4 o'clock, the top list faces Salem. 5:30 this evening, Highland against Belleville Altoff. And at 7 o'clock, it'll be Centralia and Carterville. At the Alton tournament at 4 o'clock, Jersey faces Alton. And the championship at 5:45 will have Breeze Modern Day against Breeze Central. Coming up today in the IESA, 7th grade girls region of play, at the Pena Junior High at 2 o'clock, it'll be Ocal Valley against Decatur, Our Lady of Lourdes. And then in semifinal play today at the Pena Junior High at 3 o'clock, Pena Sacred Heart takes on Decatur Holy Family. At 5 o'clock, it'll be Decatur Lutheran facing the winner of that Ocal Valley, Our Lady of Lourdes winner. In 2A 7th grade regional play at the Carrollton Grade School today in quarterfinal action at 10 o'clock, it'll be Carrollton against Madison. At 11:30, Bunker Hill will face North Green. And in the 3A regional at Gillespie, at 10 o'clock, Southwestern faces East Alton. At 11:15, Staunton will take on Roxana. And at 12:30, it'll be Carthenville against Wood River, Lewis and Clark. We need a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Another reminder, we've got Fighting Illini football coming up for you here on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. It's this afternoon, the broadcast beginning at 1:30. Again, you can hear that on 105.3 The Ox. And then Fighting Illini basketball tomorrow as Illinois will take on Marshall. That'll be live at 3:00. also on the Ox. I did not mention Illinois playing Ohio State in football today.
Yes. For the Illibuck Trophy.
For the Illibuck Trophy. The turtle.
The longtime rivals.
The wooden turtle.
That's right. A wooden turtle
it's a
now.
Wooden, yeah, it's a wooden turtle now because the first one died.
Good thing PETA wasn't around back then.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't know how. I don't think he died as a result of, you know, foul play, as to say, but he died 1 or 2 years into the rivalry. So that's how it went.
So you could effectively say the rivalry was dead at that point.
But you could say that. one could say that.
So we'll have Ohio State and Illinois coming up 1:30 this afternoon on 105.3 The Ox. Of course, all these Thanksgiving tournaments, really a great way to tip off the high school basketball season. The boys begin coming up on Monday. Of course, that monstrous Metro East tournament tips off on Monday. Nokomis and the Stovetop Stuffing Classic being hosted by Triad this year. That also will tip off on Monday, along with the Mulberry Grove tournament beginning on Monday. So we'll have more with that as we get into next week. But this Taylorville tournament is phenomenal. I mean, you got Hillsborough in there, of course. They just played Rochester last night. A great mix of talented clubs at this Lady Tornado Thanksgiving tournament. Hillsborough will play two games today. They will take on Taylorville at 1. They will face Jacksonville at 5:00. So two games for the Toppers today, coming off their game last night against Rochester. And joining us on the phone right now is Topper head coach Brett Teekin. Good morning, Teek.
Good morning.
How you doing today?
Oh, pretty good, I guess.
Hey, you got two games today, so it's a good day.
Yeah, we got a couple games over at Taylorville today, so we'll see if we can do a little better than we did last night.
Well, tough opponent last night. It wasn't your first game of the year, Teek, but, man, you find out in a hurry what type of club you have when you play Rochester.
Yeah, they graduated a lot from their team last year, but they had a lot of their bench back, and they're very sound, solid team. They move the ball well. They play great defense, and it was a challenge for us.
Teek, I guess this is just my opinion. This year, it's going to come down to who can get you points besides Sammy.
Oh yeah, definitely. We've graduated a lot of role players and some other starters last year, and there's going to be some players that haven't got a lot of varsity experience yet that we're going to need to step up a little bit and help us out with the scoring so we don't have to rely on Sammy too much.
She's such a great individual talent, Teek. Where do you think she's improved from last year to this?
Well, we had a scrimmage, and in the Staunton game, she was doing a great job of, and I had mentioned it to her, where she can really elevate her game is whenever she creates for other people. Mm-hmm. She's proven she can score a lot and stuff and to really become that real elite player. I mean, she's already very elite,
yes.
But, if she could create for other people and get them opportunities to score too, she's really gonna be at that next level even more than what she is.
And this is really, I guess, the first year that she's gonna.
Yes. I believe so.
Okay,
yeah,
well, we're on the air then.
You there, Teek?
Our backup generator.
Yeah,
oh, Teek's still there. I thought you were going. We just had a power surge here at the station, Teek. We literally went blank and dark.
Okay. I heard that, or didn't hear it.
Yeah.
So I think I asked you about the leadership of Sammy this year.
Yeah, we voted for captains, and she was pretty much a unanimous vote for one of our captains, and she's a leader. She plays hard, and you just hope that the other players see that whenever your best player is playing and working as hard as she does, it just kind of
makes your job
goes
easier
on through the rest of the program and stuff. And she has been our hardest worker at practice, and as long as the other players kind of follow in line with that, it's going to make us that much better.
And Teek, you guys have had such a nice run of good success here over a number of years, and you're going to need players other than Sammy to step up this year. So who are some of those other kids that are going to have to step into those bigger roles?
Well, we just Thursday, our point guard, Jade Scroggins, who was one, she started a lot for us last year. She broke her finger in practice, so she's out until Christmas, right around there. And Shelby Hooley is going to step in and run the point for us. So she's one of the young players that are really going to have to step up and do some more for us. Another sophomore that's been starting for us, Emily Reynolds, and then Kylie Meyer, who started most of the year last year for us, except when she was injured for a little while, is going to need to do some scoring for us. And Aubrey Rupert had a really nice game last night. She had 14 points, and we're going to need her to step up and do some work for us also on scoring and rebounding wise. Some other players that Macy Blankenship is kind of our first post player off the bench, and she's gonna need to help us some. And senior Mackenzie Belliver has come in and given us some good minutes off the bench, and we're gonna need her in that role too. So those are some of the players that right at the start of the year here that we're gonna need some maturing pretty quickly and to help us out scoring and rebounding and defensive-wise.
Deke, you guys, your schedule is always top-notch. You're not afraid to play anybody in the regular year, and it has a lot to do with the postseason success that you guys have. And this Taylorville tournament's a good example of that. A lot of good clubs in there.
Yeah, they actually made it better this year than it has been the last couple years, because Rochester, this is the first year they've been in it. And Bethalto Civic Memorial's in it, and we'll play them next weekend, too, and they're a loaded team. So, yeah, it starts off, you jump right in with some really good competition along with Taylorville and Mount Zion. So we're the only 2A team in the tournament, and the rest of them are all 3A teams. So we jump right in pretty quickly and see what we're made of.
Yeah, absolutely. Teke, thanks for a few minutes of your time today. Good luck in both your contests today, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Brett Teekin, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. He survived the power surge and came out on the other side. That was weird.
It was weird. And for some reason, I didn't think to turn the pots on for the board, so that's why I didn't hear you at first. I was like, why am I not hearing Tim? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I turn everything back on. So
the wonderful power surge.
Right.
So
I think we're back up and running completely. Well,
we've got backup. Not generators, but right. Backup units that are supposed to keep all of our computers on and all that.
Well, we were off the air on WSMI AM 1540 and WAOX there for a little bit longer, but I believe we're back on because the lights aren't.
Everything's had to kind of reboot up and recycle through, so we made it.
It is pouring down rain right now.
You can hear it, yes.
Yeah, well, I can't hear it, but I can't hear it, but I can see it. Like I can't see anything out the window in front of me.
I can hear it coming off the roof.
Can you? I can't hear anything. I've got my headphones on, and, yeah, I don't hear anything.
So this
I don't have great hearing, though, so.
No, you don't. David has to crank his headphones up like he's been working in radio for 50 years.
Loud music doesn't help you.
Oh, if only you would have listened to your parents when you were a young whippersnapper, David. If only. So with this weather, will it have a factor, you know, Athens hosting a game, Plains is hosting a game. Rochester is hosting a game.
Could. It could. It's the great equalizer, as they say.
Boy. And it really would be a shame because the weather has not played a factor at all this year in high school football. I mean, we didn't have, at least
in our media area, it didn't.
Yeah, in our area, we didn't have any rain games.
Right.
Didn't really have a lot of games where there was a big, massive crosswind or a big wind one direction or
really,
the other.
No reason for like heat timeouts either. Like it wasn't extremely hot during any of the games either.
I disagree with you on that.
Okay.
Earlier in the year.
I wouldn't know.
There was one week. It was like week three. All I was doing was setting up equipment, which is not stressful and or hard. I was in a full sweat. Full sweat. Like this is no good.
Okay.
This is no good. So yeah, we did have some heat early.
Okay. But were there heat timeouts though? For player
clubs. Maybe one or two, but nothing like we've seen the last couple of years, yes.
Fair enough.
Let's turn our attention to the Fighting Illini here in our last couple minutes of Sports Saturday. Football on the air at 1:30. We've talked enough about the big rivalry game today with Illinois and Ohio State.
I want to talk the Illibuck. it's a thing, I promise.
I believe you. I'm going to make it my
turtle.
Personal mission to squash the Illibuck trophy.
Go break it. Go saw it in half.
Yeah. I want to talk Illinois basketball, though, because it's a basketball school. I want to
talk. They're more fun to talk about.
Oh, yes, they are. The Brad Underwood era off to a 3-0 start. They hadn't played DePaul, apparently, in 60 years.
Since 57, I believe.
That's a long time.
It is.
82-73, they won it last night. Edwardsville graduate Mark Smith, a career-high 21 points. And, David, you mentioned it off the air before the show started. It is fun to watch a kid from Edwardsville on national TV.
It really is. He's a heck of a player,
oh,
and he's
goodness.
Not afraid to go to the rim.
No. And even last year, watching him in high school, that dude attacked the rim like it had done something to him personally.
And I know he's not facing the elite college opponents yet, but
still D1.
It's still D1, and he's not changed his style either. I mean, he's going to the rim and going hard.
He can get to the rim.
Yeah,
he's explosive. He's quick, and he can shoot it too.
And
he can pass.
I haven't seen him play a lot of point guard yet because they've got Tijon Lucas and Trent Frazier, who are probably better ball handlers. But if he's going to play a lot of point guard this year, he's a big point guard. I mean, 6'4", it may be considered average in today's game, but I mean, he looks big and like a wide body point guard.
Well, he's built. I mean, he's got the body muscularly to handle the load that a Big Ten season is going to bring.
They're going to be fun to watch. I mean, they've got a good rotation of 9 players right now, and I mean, we have this season to look forward to, but next season they're only going to lose basically one player from that rotation that they're playing right now, because it's graduate player Mark Allstork, and they'll be replacing him with Io Desunmu.
That's an upgrade.
Yeah, probably the most likely candidate to win Mr. Basketball in Illinois this year, and player out of the Chicago Public League.
Well, we would have to look it up, but I wonder when the last time Illinois has had 2 Mr. Basketballs on their roster at the same time.
Well, let alone back-to-back Mr. Basketballs.
Right.
It's been a while. It has happened, I believe.
Well, it's happened, but it's been a while.
It's been a while.
You might have to get back to the Flying Illini.
Yeah,
Maybe.
I don't know. That's a good question.
So the 05 team, Darren Williams from Texas.
Right. D. Brown was best Mr. Basketball.
He was, but him and Augustine were the same age.
Right. But I don't know if they had. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
And they had that period where they had Brandon Paul.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't Mr. Basketball, was he?
He was not.
Was he?
I thought he was.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
He made the NBA finally. Brandon Paul for the Spurs. I saw.
Credit to him, because
good
he's been trying for years.
Yeah, good
for
him.
He's been playing like D League and over in Europe and stuff, and he's finally made it. And he's playing well.
Living in the dream.
Yeah, he's. He's a good player. I mean,
there's
no lack of effort on his part. I mean, he plays hard in and out. He looks good.
Yes, he does.
Good to see him finally in the league.
We wish him luck.
Yeah.
So the Illini are 3-0. They're not shooting the ball well early in the year.
They're still scoring 86 points a game.
That's going to have to improve, though. They're going to have to start shooting a better percentage. Just 5 of 23 from 3 and just 42% from the field overall. That does need to improve. But the fact that they've been able... I mean, they blew Southern out.
With poor three-point shooting.
With poor three-point shooting. Beat it by 47.
Yeah. And obviously, Southern played a pretty good game against Duke last night.
Yes.
So, conventional wisdom would say Illinois is better than Duke.
Naturally. There's no other conclusion to draw from
that.
It's
the only way.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Only summation to come from that.
Well, I'm a huge Duke guy, and I commented to you yesterday. If Illinois beat Southern by 40, how many is Duke going to beat them by? And your point was, you're exactly right. It's really hard to beat anybody by more.
Yeah.
Than 47 or 50 points. But that was actually a game for about 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, Duke was coming off of that great win over Michigan State, so they were just kind of going through the motions and all that, but yes.
Well, and when Illinois played them, they were coming off a loss in an exhibition game to Eastern Illinois, and it was Southern's first game of the year. So
we talked about that at the time. Maybe that was going to be the best thing that could have happened to Illinois. As disgusting as it sounded the day after they lost to Eastern, it's like, oh, what? Come on, what are you talking about? But you'd have to say that with that loss, Brad Underwood got the undivided attention of his club.
Even
you think you're all that? I'll go recruit those kids.
No kidding. Even under Bruce Weber and John Gross, I don't know how many times they scored 100 points in a game. It wasn't a lot, if they did at all. I mean, they just didn't do it.
You don't see many college teams score 100.
No.
You know, early in the year is when you see it, when you get... You know, the powerhouses against the weak sisters of the
even board. Then you don't see it a lot because they're usually maxing out at 90, but they're holding their opponents to like 40 or 50. I mean, this was they got 100 points, but that's Brad Underwood. I mean, he plays offense.
The bragging rights game. Oh, it's back, David. The hype is back for the bragging rights game.
Well, let's hope that Michael Porter will be in the game. Or maybe you won't hope Michael Porter will be
Michael
in the
Porter's
game.
I don't know if Michael Porter's in the game. You a Mizzou fan? Were you a closet Mizzou fan?
No, I'm just... I mean,
I know what you mean. Just for the basketball fan, pure quality. Yeah, you'd like to see him.
You'd like to see both teams at their best.
You would.
The strongest.
You would.
Yeah, it would be great if he wasn't there and the Illini would blow him out. But
you never want to see a great player be forced out of the lineup with injury.
That's right. Sounds, and you made this point off the air this week that he may be done playing college basketball.
Hey, he's got to think about his future.
Yeah. It might not be that serious of an injury, but, I mean, guys have been held out for less.
When you're talking about being the potential number one pick coming up in the summer.
That's right.
Can't risk it.
And clearly it doesn't necessarily affect your draft stock either. Guys have, Kyrie Irving played, what, six games in college? And
something like that.
Blew the number one pick?
Exactly right. Fighting Illini football today, 1:30 from the Horseshoe at Ohio State on 105.3 The Ox. Fighting Illini basketball tomorrow, home to Marshall, live at 3 on 105.3 The Ox. Good luck to Plains, Athens, and Borough Forsyth as the Sangamo Conference looks to put three teams into the state football championship.
And Edwardsville.
And Edwardsville. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.